Scripture reading this morning will be taken from Romans chapter 13, verse 11, Romans 13, 11, and 1 Corinthians 15, 34. Romans 13, 11, 1 Corinthians 15, 34. Romans 13, 11 records, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." 1 Corinthians 15, 34 records, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and doers of his will.
What a blessing it is for us to be here. If you hear my voice, I don't have much, but we'll make it work for this morning. We hope, pray, and trust that you are doing well. I do want to let everyone know that if you are visiting with us, we're thankful for you being here with us. We hope, pray, and trust that life is treating you well. But for those of us who are members here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ, thank you for being with us as well. This year's theme will be "Arise out of sleep and awake to righteousness." The people of God at Rome were going through persecution because of Nero. Nero, as he was persecuting the people of God, it was stated on one occasion that he would take Christians and he would light them a flame to light up his courtyard. The people of God were encouraged, and also they were commanded by the Apostle Paul to honor this particular government, if you will. You stop and you consider that, and you think about some of the things that they had to go through concerning or being Christians. We think about the church at Rome and how they were not only an encouragement, but they were faithful. That the Apostle Paul wanted to go to them and he wanted to impart some spiritual fruit unto them, Romans chapter 1. But we also notice in the book of Romans chapter 13 that was read in our hearing, as the Apostle Paul is talking to them, and I believe it's something that is worthy of our consideration even today, that when we think about the times in which we live in, we have to consider the times in which they lived in. The time in which they lived in were not good times, yet the church was flourishing. The church was prospering. And what I mean by prospering is that they were being faithful to Almighty God, even in the midst of a horrific time. Can you imagine your loved ones as they were being persecuted and being stoned and being tarred and feathered for the cause of Christ? These people, that's what was taking place in their lives. Yet the Apostle Paul was telling them that they needed to have the right attitude. They needed to make sure that they didn't get caught up with the things of this world. And no wonder the Apostle Paul would tell them in Romans 12, verse number 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And notice, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." See, they were encouraged as well not to be conformed to the world that was around them. Just as we have to be encouraged and commanded not to be conformed to the world that is around us. When we think about this particular idea in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11 that was read in our hearing, I want you to keep that in mind as You also keep in mind what was said in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse number 32, as the sons of Issachar had an understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. Now, the reason why I want to bring that passage up before we deal with Romans 13 and verse number 11 is that it behooves us to know the times in which we live in. It's very important for us to understand the times in which we live in. I'm reminded of Acts 13 and verse number 36, where the Bible teaches us that David served, here it is, his generation. He understood his generation. He served his generation. And Acts 2 and verse number 40, when Peter was preaching that gospel sermon there, he said, save yourselves, here it is, from this untoward, this crooked generation. Which tells us, friends, that in order for us to understand the generation that we live in, we have to be paying attention to what's going on around us. In Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11, as we keep the theme of this year in mind, arise out of sleep, awake to righteousness. Notice what the Bible here says. And do this, knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. The word awake there is the Greek word egero, which literally means arise. Now sometimes I wonder why this is translated in English this way, but nevertheless it is. However, the word arise here means to be raised up. When we consider this particular word, notice what Paul says, and do this knowing that the time, the season, that it is now high time. The season is right now, he says. Right now is the time in which you need to be paying attention. Now it is high time to arise, to get up, to wake up. Notice what he says, out of sleep. The Greek word for sleep there is the Greek word hypnos. We get our English word hypnosis. Here, Paul is telling them to wake up, to get up out of your spiritual slumber. Now stop and consider that. Because here the Romans were being encouraged and commanded to get up out of their spiritual slumber. Why? Because of what was going on around them. Friends, when we consider this particular idea, it is very important for us to keep that in mind as well. That the world in which we live in today is spiritually asleep. They don't look at things the way that God looks at them. And this is why the Word of God is so important, because it teaches us to wake up. The word there, hypnos, also carries the idea of waking up out of spiritual inactivity. Inactivity. The Romans had to ask themselves a question. Am I inactive in the will of God? Or am I active in the will of God? Here, these individuals were in spiritual hibernation. They were asleep. The Apostle Paul, as he is encouraging them to wake up, reminding them to wake up, to understand their spiritual surroundings, if you will. But why? Look at the rest of the verse, and I know for a fact that you'll see great application in this text. For he says, for our salvation. Did you see that? Now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, did you catch that? That the day in which we were baptized into Christ, that all of our sins were washed away. At the time in which Paul wrote this to the brethren at Rome, he says that the salvation that is going or on its way is closer than when you first believed. It's the same for us. Keep in mind the day in which you were baptized into Christ, that you became a member of the Church of Christ, that when your sins were washed away, however long that was, it doesn't matter. Your salvation, your deliverance, the return of Christ is closer than when you first obeyed the gospel. And for that reason, he says, wake up. For that reason, he says, come out of your spiritual hibernation. For that reason, come out of your spiritual inactivity. Well, but notice what he goes on to say. He says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Notice five things in the rest of these passages that are worthy of our consideration. Number one, if we're going to wake up out of our spiritual inactivity, hibernation, hypnosis, we have to do the same thing that Paul told the church at Rome to do. He says, number one, therefore, cast off the works of darkness. As I was thinking about this, I thought about fishing and how when one fishes, he just doesn't put the line into the water right in front of him. Oh, no. What he does, he takes that line and he casts it. Do you know that's exactly what Paul is telling us to do when it comes to darkness, when it comes to sin, when it comes to inactivity, when it comes to spiritual hypnosis? He says, cast it far from you. Why? Because your salvation is nearer than when you first believe. So he says, let us cast off the works of darkness. But one thing I love about what the Apostle Paul did, notice what the text says. He says, let us. He wasn't condemning them. He didn't say that you were in darkness. It wasn't as if that he had an indictment against them. He said, just put it away from you. And all of us needs to do that. You know, all of us need to do that. Every last one of us needs to put darkness away from us. Number two, it's right in the text. So when you cast off something, you got to put on something. He says, let us put on the armor of light. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4 and look at verse number 1 and notice what the Bible there communicates. Friends, this is our theme for the year, that we have to arise out of sleep, arise out of inactivity, hypnosis, arise out of that which is causing us not to be in full strength, if you will, and awake to righteousness. Notice what he says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, here's our word, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Let's go ahead and give a little bit of commentary on that. Do you understand that Peter is demonstrating to us that the more that we suffer as a Christian, suffer in doing that which is moral and right, that which is godly, the more we cease from sinning against God. Friends, here the Bible communicates to us that when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we put on the armor of light, friends, we find ourselves doing marvelous things, magnificent things for God. No wonder we ought to put on the whole armor of God. And when we put on the whole armor of God, then we're putting on the armor of light. Number three, in verse number 13, notice. Let us walk properly as in the day. You know, I thought about that and I gained great encouragement from that. I hope you will too right now. Here, Paul is demonstrating to the church at Rome that, okay, you're out of spiritual stupor. You're out of spiritual hypnosis. Now, walk the transparent life. Uh-oh. Watch out. You know how often people try to hide things in their lives? Here, the child of God lives an open book. Here, the child of God lives a life of transparency, not just before Jehovah, who can see all things, Proverbs 15:3, but before mankind. Why? Because this individual, this Christian, wants people in the church and outside of the church to see what the life of Christ is all about. Therefore, he says, let us walk properly as in the day. And I thought about that even closer, meditated upon that. Why does many of our crimes take place at night? Because we don't want to be found out. Why do people commit crimes and then they run away, drive away, get away, because they don't want to be found out? Yet, here we understand that Moses would say in the book of Numbers, I believe it's chapter 31 and verse number 23, he says, be sure that your sins will find you out. You know what that teaches us? And it demonstrates to us that we are to live a life of activity, spiritual activity, not spiritual inactivity. So therefore, when we consider what Paul is telling the church at Rome, he says, let us cast off, let us put on, let us walk properly as in the day. And then he tells them, not in revelings, which is drinking parties, not in drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But notice what he says, the fourth thing. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, put on the mind of Christ, Philippians 2 and verse 5. Put on the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 16. And notice what he says here. Young people, listen up. Make no provisions. Make no opportunities for the flesh. You know, now we got to tell older people that. Now we got to tell the elderly that. Now we have to tell those who have been in the Lord that. I'm reminded of what Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 27. Don't give place for the devil. Unfortunately, many do. Make no provisions, make no opportunities. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 5 and look at verse number 15. And notice what the Bible there communicates. Friends, when we consider the theme for this year, I hope, pray, and trust. And the eldership hope, praise, and trust. And your brothers and sisters in Christ hope, pray, and trust that you do all that you can to make sure that you come up out of spiritual inactivity. Stay busy. Here in Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16, notice what the Bible says. See then that you walk, that's a lifestyle, the Greek word is peripateo, literally means to tread around. Circumspectly, the Greek word there is acrobat, tightrope. Hold on. The children of God ought to walk the tightrope when it comes to Christianity. Yes. Whatever God says, that's what we do. Wherever God says we go, that's where we go. So he says, so then, that see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? The days are evil. Just as they were evil in the days of Rome, they're evil in the days of the United States of America. That we have to be aware of what's going on around us. Doesn't matter how old we are. I just read something just the other day, how a family was inside of a vehicle and this car came up on the side of them in Houston, Texas, and opened fire on them. Friends, we better be aware of what's going on around us. We got to walk in wisdom. But he says, make no provisions, no opportunities for the flesh to fulfill this lust. But now turn to 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 31, awake to righteousness. I love this particular text here because the context is dealing with those who were resisting and speaking against the resurrection. They were speaking against Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. Not only should a child of God be aware of their surroundings and teach their children to be aware of their spiritual surroundings, and not only should the pulpit be instrumental in making sure that the people of God understand their spiritual surroundings, but the pulpit must make sure that the people understand that doctrinal error must be brought down. Here we find that the Apostle Paul says in verse number 34 of Romans 1 Corinthians 15, he says, awake to righteousness. But how did we get here? In Corinth, there was serious doctrinal and biblical infractions taking place. And because of this serious infraction, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was being questioned. The people of God here were falling prey to this particular idea. Paul was telling them that you need to take the cloudiness out of your minds. It's interesting. Notice the text. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse number 31 for time's sake. He says, I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, I die daily. You can put Luke 9, 23, Matthew 16, 24. He says, if in the manner of men, now this is important, I have fought with beasts, Now, he's not talking about animals, friends. He's talking about irrational men. Men that won't think properly. Men who won't reason. But notice what he says at Ephesus. What advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now, notice, if men and women are not going to be raised, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, then why don't we just live a life of whatever we desire, because we're just going to live and die and nothing's going to happen. Paul says, oh no. In verse number 33, notice what he says, friends. He says, do not be deceived, literally in the Greek, do not deceive yourself. Evil communication. Moving away from the standard. People who move away from the standards, and if these are your companions, they're going to spoil your good manners. I know that's difficult, especially for young people. We've been there. We have a type of heart sometimes. We want to do what's right, but we got people in our lives that they're not on the same page. And sometimes some of us who are older, we got friends like that. And you know what they're doing? They're spoiling our good manners. They're spoiling our morality. Here, our morality is based upon the standard that God has given us. And now we're allowing these people into our lives. And Paul said, you're allowing these people who are saying that the resurrection is not going to take place. You're allowing them to influence you. And what they're doing is they're clouding your judgment. That's what he's saying. So now notice what he says in verse number 34. Awake. The Greek word there is eknepho. Ek, ek, out, exit. Nepho, cloudiness. Awake out of cloudiness. Get the clouds out of your mind. There is a terminology, nephology, the study of clouds. Here we understand that Paul is telling the Christians here, get the cloudiness out of your minds. Why? Because there's going to be a resurrection. Jesus did raise from the dead. And guess what? You will too one day. So Paul, as he reminds them, and as I remind us, that we need to arise out of spiritual stupor. We need to arise out of spiritual hypnosis, and we need to awake. But notice, we're not awakened to sin. We're not awakened to our own will. We're awakened to righteousness. The gospel. The good tidings of Jesus Christ. That which is identified with Jehovah himself. He says, awake to righteousness and do not sin. In essence, watch yourself. Friends, I can't stress enough how bad we need to watch out for our spiritual souls. I can't stress enough how much we need to be paying attention to our children, to our grandchildren, to our own lives. I'm reminded of what Solomon would say in Proverbs 4 and verse number 23. He says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Watch what goes into your heart. Watch your thoughts. Watch what you read. Watch what you take in. Watch who your children are around. Why? Because you are their moral conscience until they're mature enough to develop their own moral conscience. So here, one thing I love about Jehovah. Jehovah is our moral conscience. And he is always our moral conscience. He never stops being our moral conscience. So here, as Paul is telling them, there will be a resurrection. And stop allowing people to cloud your judgment. Awake out of spiritual sleep. Arise and awake to righteousness. Get the cloudiness out of your mind. Maybe you're not a child of God. We want you to be. Maybe you're a member of a denomination. Do you know that denominationalism is an affront to God? Because Jesus Christ came and he suffered, bled, and died for his church. In Acts 20 and verse number 28, he purchased the church with his blood. He's going to come back one day for that church, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11 through 16. when you consider false doctrine. False doctrine doesn't get us close to God. It actually moves us away from God. It causes cloudiness in the mind. It causes our hearts not to be close to God. And it puts us in a position where we don't make good spiritual decisions. So we have to teach you the gospel. We have to tell you about the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the very appearance of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-8. We have to tell you about the kingdom of God, Mark 1 and verse number 14. When Philip came preaching, he came preaching the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 8 and verse 12. We have to tell you about the good news of Jesus Christ and have to tell you about the moral character of Almighty God, Exodus chapter 34, 5 through 7. Friends, God desires all men to be in his Son, Jesus Christ. And no wonder Jesus would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but through me. That's the Bible. Maybe you're a child of God and maybe you've been spiritually inactive. You haven't been working out your salvation, Philippians 2:12. Arise. Maybe you've been cloudy in your mind, been listening to denominational teachers and preachers, and now they've got you questioning the fundamental truths of the Bible. Arise. And when you do that, you'll understand exactly what God teaches in his word. Maybe you need some spiritual help. We can help you.
After several weeks of consideration, the following men will be installed as elders and deacons to serve with the elders and deacons that now serve here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ on this day, being Sunday, January the 6th, 2019. I'd like to first address our deacons, and as I call your name, if you would, just come up here to my left, with your family or your wife. Rafael Ramirez, Bobby Ventura, and Brian Braswell. If I would just come up here. I'd like to read a section of scripture that pertains to their work, and then the elders would like to offer a charge to these men that are now being installed as deacons. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse number 8, you find in your Bibles these words, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacon be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their house, their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. The elders would like to offer this charge to our deacons, to be faithful in the service of this congregation under the guidance and supervision of the bishops. Remind us often that the Lord requires us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before our God. Teach us to be merciful, to seize the many opportunities of service. Be compassionate to those in need. Treat them with dignity and respect. Hold in trust all sensitive matters confided unto you. Let your lives be above reproach. Live as examples to Christ Jesus. Look to the interest of others. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. You may take your seat. These men shall serve, be added to our deacons. Next to the elders. Again, as I call these men's name, I would ask that you would come forward with your families or your wife. Royce Williamson, and Mike Bonner. The scripture I would like to read is Acts chapter 20, 28 through 31. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31. Take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one day and night with tears. Again, the elders would like to make this charge to now our fellow elders. The word bishop in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1 is defined as an overseer, a watcher, a guardian. The elder is to see that the flock is fed and cared for, 1 Timothy chapter 5 verses 1 through 3. As a watcher, he is to see that no enemy comes in and destroys the flock. As an overseer, he is an inspector. Anyone can see trouble after it develops. An elder, by close inspection, should be able to detect the seeds of trouble without waiting until the ripened fruit appears. A little watchfulness at the right time might save a soul. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. This is our charge to our deacons and our charge to our elders. You may be seated. We have one final charge and then we'll have a word of prayer and close our service. This is a charge to the congregation. We charge you, the people of God, to receive these men in their capacity, to recognize them as a divine provision for the health and soundness of this congregation, to hold them in honor, to take their counsel seriously, respond to them with obedience and respect, accept their help with thanks, wholeheartedly participate in the works into which they shall lead you, sustain them in prayer, encourage them with your support, especially when they feel the burden of their office. Acknowledge them as the Lord's servants among you. Having been no scriptural objection put forth, these men shall now serve this congregation with the other elders and deacons in their respected capacity.
Please join me in prayer. Almighty, gracious, almighty, and righteous Heavenly Father, today we lift up the names of these five men and their families who shall begin today to serve this congregation in their offices of elders and deacons. We pray for them and their families. We pray they may wholeheartedly give their attention to the work of faith and the labor of love that they have acknowledged. Keep them in thy service, dear Lord. Bless our households with peace and respect. Fill them with wisdom and a willingness to serve. We bless them, O Lord. We call our blessings upon them. We pray also that we as a congregation accept them and support them and uphold their work. And Lord, as we all go out into the world, we pray we may take that thy spirit, we may pray we may take thy word and thy truth, holding firm to thy truth, out into that world. Lord, as we are tempted by the world, we pray we may hold firm to the faith. We pray for thy strength, Lord. We pray that that we will serve as a shining example of Christian life in a lost and sinful world. We pray, Lord, as we go out to the world, that we will find those lost sheep and we will minister to them, always praying the true word. Lord, we pray will be with all of us, and when it be thy will that we gather again, once again, to study thy word. We pray for those who could not be here, dear Lord. We pray you will be with those who are ill and return them to that state of health you deem fit. Those who are traveling, we pray for a safe journey and a safe return. And those who are not here for other reasons, Lord, we pray that you will just be with them as well. Prick our consciences and let them return to us. Lord, we pray for so many things. Let us not to forget to thank thee for thy Son, Jesus Christ, for that voluntary sacrifice he made on the cross, giving his body and his blood for the redemption of our sins, that we all have life eternal. Therefore, Lord, let all things be through his name. Let all things be for thy glory and not our own. And through his name we do pray. Amen.